Once again, welcome back to another episode of M&A Today. My name is Warren Rose, and I am a senior partner at Grosch Rose & Moore, LLC. I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes, not only today, but every Friday at noon Eastern. Thanks for tuning in today, and feel free to send me your thoughts, ideas, or questions during the broadcast. And if I don't get to them live on the air, I will respond via email after the show. For anyone listening today, we encourage your involvement and feedback, and you can always go back and listen to previous broadcasts that you may have missed or ones that you'd just like to hear again. The purpose of this show is to not only educate and inform those of you within the industry, but to give an insight into the advantages of using a professional M&A consulting firm for businesses within the middle market segmentation. The topics for today's broadcast are platforms, add-ons, tuck-ins, bolt-ons, roll-ups, and carve-outs. That's quite a mouthful and confusing, not only to those outside our industry, but also for many of those within. There are a lot of similarities between some of these types, and sometimes it seems like it's just a matter of semantics. But it's important to know the differences and to understand the verbiage that will be applied during the course of an M&A activity. So let's begin. When growing through mergers and acquisitions, there are certain types of acquisitions. The platform and add-on acquisitions are the two main approaches. When a company expands into a new market, the expansion often comes in the form of a platform acquisition. The company entering the new market usually targets an existing business with an already sizable base of operations, which then becomes the platform from which to launch further expansion. The term platform acquisition originates from the private equity world, where platform investments are very common. In the context of private equity, a platform acquisition refers to the initial acquisition a private equity group makes to enter an industry with the intent to then roll up or acquire other smaller companies in that industry. So what does a platform acquisition look like? Because these companies are effectively launch platforms, there are certain criteria that buyers look for when seeking out a platform acquisition. Generally, platform acquisitions tend to have the following characteristics. First, they're market leaders. A platform company tends to be a top player in their respective geographical or functional niche. They may not be the largest players in the industry, but within their sphere of influence, they are normally market leaders in terms of sales, brand, client relations, locations, etc. Second, management experience. A platform company tends to have an experienced management team that can continue to manage day-to-day operations after an acquisition. Unlike major multi-billion dollar acquisitions that are followed by massive layoffs and cost cutting, which often gets featured in the press, the retention of senior management and key employees is an important consideration in a platform acquisition. And finally, multiple locations and SOPs. By their very definition, platform companies operate across a base of multiple locations within the region. These companies tend to have established SOPs, which stands for Standard Operating Procedures, and business procedures to manage business across multiple locations that are leveraged to drive further growth. So, how is a platform acquisition different than other acquisitions? Perhaps the most defining characteristic of a platform acquisition is the value of the business. Since most platform companies are considered industry leaders with established SOPs and an experienced management team, there is often a substantial increase in price that a buyer is willing to pay. While the platform acquisition may be a higher cost acquisition, buyers often average down the total cost to enter the market by subsequently pursuing one-off acquisitions. These smaller acquisitions can be completed at a much lower relative cost. This is often referred to as a roll-up strategy that we'll talk about a little more in detail later. This is where an initial premium is paid to acquire a platform, and then subsequent smaller and generally lower cost acquisitions are made. But beware, willingness to pay does not always transfer into proceeds from the seller. I've seen deals where platforms go for less than what a one-off acquisition would go for. I've also seen smaller companies sell for a significantly higher relative price as a result of a professionally managed sell-side process. In the absence of a professionally managed process, a buyer likely will not feel compelled to offer full value regardless of how attractive the business. Well, why does it really even matter? One of the best ways to increase your valuation is to become a platform acquisition target. You don't have to be the biggest or the best in the industry, just in your sphere of influence. Platforms attract higher prices because they generally deliver greater value to an acquirer through established management teams, business processes, and other intangibles relative to multiple smaller targets. They also offer greater opportunities to leverage cost synergies across a wider sales base to improve overall profitability to the buyer. Now let's look at what an add-on acquisition means. An add-on acquisition refers to a company that is added by a private equity firm or another buyer to one of its platform companies, or by a strategic buyer pursuing a consolidated investment strategy. Typically, the acquirer will already have the management capabilities, infrastructure, and systems that allow for organic or acquisitions growth. The add-on acquisition can provide complementary services, technology, or expansion into an existing geographic footprint, which can be quickly integrated into the existing infrastructure. A larger add-on target might also bring some diversification of products, geographies, and customers, which would further extend the reach of the buyer. Similar to a bolt-on or a tuck-in, an add-on acquisition can refer to acquisitions of smaller companies with very little financial and administrative infrastructure. Given the lack of infrastructure, acquirers will usually pay lower-end valuation multiples for add-on acquisitions. But unlike a bolt-on or a tuck-in, an add-on acquisition can also refer to the acquisition of a larger company that provides diversification to an existing business. The add-on business could have strong infrastructure and management teams, and in some cases might be seen as a synergistic purchase by the acquirer. In this case, an add-on acquisition could fetch a premium value in the marketplace. I want to take a break here and give you a plug and tell you a few things about our firm, Grosch Rose & Moore, LLC. We have always believed that our client approach sets us apart from our competition. First and foremost, we listen, and then we take that knowledge leveraged by our experience and vast contacts to create the right fit. We then focus on what is important to you, your business, and any shareholders. We also strive to conduct ourselves in a manner that makes certain everyone is treated fairly and equitably. Really, regardless of who you contract with and what they do, you need an M&A advisory firm that not only has the knowledge and experience to get things done, but understands and cares about your business goals. So if you are looking to buy, sell, consolidate, form a strategic alliance, get a business valuation, or simply want a consultation, call me at 303-941-7865 or email me at wrose@groschrosemoore.com. Bottom line, we only want a fee if we've earned it. Whether it's on the buy or the sell side, no deal, no fee. It's that simple. Now, before the break, I mentioned bolt-ons and tuck-ins. So let's examine both of those. What does tuck-in acquisition really mean? Well, a tuck-in acquisition refers to a company that is acquired by a platform company that is usually backed by private equity. The term tuck-in refers to the idea that the acquisition is being tucked in under the infrastructure of the platform company. When private equity enters a market, it may do so by acquiring a larger company with management and infrastructure capable of absorbing other smaller players. This larger company serves as the platform, and then tuck-in acquisitions are completed to add the geographic footprint or add complementary services or technology. Tuck-in acquisitions usually have a strong owner, but limited management depth or administrative resources to continue growing, which makes them ideal for larger platform companies to absorb. So let's explain this a bit further. While a tuck-in acquisition may work for a seller who is looking to let go of all administration, the process represents a considerable change. The platform company will look to integrate a tuck-in company as quick as possible into common accounting systems, treasury, and operating procedures. Usually, a quick integration win is to revise the pricing of products or services up to the platform company's rate sheet. While changes are aimed at creating value in the long run, the owner of the tuck-in company needs to be prepared for the significant change that occurs in the first year and ensure that he or she manages appropriately how the rest of the employees will react to the integration process. Now for the bolt-on. Quite simply, a bolt-on acquisition refers to a company that is added by a private equity firm to one of its platform companies. Typically, a PE firm will partner with a larger company that has a position in a particular market. This larger company becomes a platform to expand into the market because it has management capabilities, infrastructure, and systems that allows for organic or acquisition growth. The platform company will look for bolt-on acquisitions that can provide complementary services, technology, or geographic footprint diversification and can quickly be integrated into the existing management infrastructure. Sounds like an add-on, doesn't it, with just a few small different nuances. Now let's explain a bolt-on acquisition just a bit more. Bolt-on acquisitions are usually smaller companies with very little financial and administrative infrastructure. We talked about this before, and this is very similar to what we're talking about in any type of add-on. These are typically operated by a company owner and have hit a tipping point where they can't grow anymore due to lack of capital, scale, or management expertise. They may have unsophisticated financial systems, lack in IT and internal controls, but are usually excellent operating companies with good customer relationships. The owners of bolt-on acquisitions are usually looking to move the administrative and corporate management so that they can focus on the operations and customers. This is why private equity-backed platform companies or corporate buyers with the infrastructure in place can be a perfect fit. Given the lack of infrastructure at these companies, buyers will usually pay a lower valuation multiple for bolt-on acquisition than they would for a platform company. This only makes sense. Now we'll go to a roll-up. A roll-up, also known as a basic consolidation, is a term used to describe a company that is built primarily through the acquisition of smaller companies with common services or products. Usually roll-ups are conducted by financial buyers in a specific market that is fragmented and can be consolidated. The market may be dominated by one player, with the balance of the competition made up of smaller private companies without sufficient scale and infrastructure to challenge the dominant player. The financial buyer will identify the potential acquisition targets that offer products or services within the fragmented market and usually acquire them through a platform company. The roll-up then entails putting the various businesses together under a common brand, administrative infrastructure, reporting systems, and sales and marketing so that the combined business is presented to the customer base as a single entity. In a roll-up, value is created by building a much larger scalable entity that will command a higher valuation multiple upon exit, and also by establishing a common platform of systems and processes that allows for easy integration. Roll-ups can generate value, but they are extremely difficult to execute. The difficulty lies in the mix of different cultures and business practices inherent in each of the companies acquired, as well as considerable change that these companies experience as they get integrated. If the change is too immediate, the principals may get disenchanted quickly and leave, which causes a loss of value due to the usual dependence on these principals in the early stages. Similarly, if the integration change is too slow, then the combined company remains fragmented with a bunch of companies under one common umbrella, but with no cohesion or infrastructure to operate as a scalable single entity. Roll-ups are better suited for company owners who wish to stay on and create value together with other operational and financial partners, rather than those sellers who are simply looking to monetize their company equity through a quick cash exit. Now let's move on to a carve-out. A carve-out refers to a business unit or units that are spun off or carved out of a larger company or companies. Usually these business units have existing management and or customers in place, but there is a catalyst that encourages the larger company to divest. This catalyst may be that the business unit provides a service or product that is not core to the overall strategy. The overall company may have too much debt and is looking to monetize a valuable piece of the business for debt reduction, or simply the unit has considerable value that is not being reflected in the overall valuation of the company. Carve-outs are excellent candidates for financial buyers such as private equity groups. This is because carve-outs are usually good businesses with knowledgeable management that simply don't fit in the larger company, in the larger selling company. Even if they are troubled divisions, they can be turned around by the existing management with a different capital structure that the buyer can provide. Oftentimes, the existing management will see an opportunity and round up capital to buy the business unit being sold, which can often be accomplished through a leveraged buyout. I'd like to take this time to kind of talk to you guys about our efforts in Costa Rica. Recently, as you may have known, we formed a strategic alliance with a group called First Choice Investments there in Costa Rica. The goal of this collaboration is to bring valuable and profitable investment opportunities throughout Costa Rica to new and existing clients worldwide. The reason that I am so optimistic about Costa Rica is because of the timing and current world investment client. Other countries' losses have become Costa Rica's gain. This is due to the unfortunate hurricane devastation in Puerto Rico, the Bahamas, and other tropical areas, as well as political unrest in places like Venezuela, that have taken these areas out of consideration for companies who had planned on investing there. Instead, those investors are now focusing on other locations to put their money, and Costa Rica is always in consideration. I want to highlight one particular new client that we have there. It is a Costa Rica coffee farm, mill, exporter, and retailer. The existing business that is for sale here is an opportunity for a coffee plantation and a fully operational mill in one of the most beautiful corners of the planet, Costa Rica. This company is registered with the National Institute of Coffee in Costa Rica and have an official status of coffee exporter worldwide. There is also a retail permit for Costa Rica and a quality certificate from the Costa Rica Coffee Institute with an excellence rating. The coffee plantation and mill are situated on 104 acres, including two rivers, with industrial, office, warehouse, and residential buildings. There is direct access from the municipal road, unlimited water, electricity, and internet. The plantation is located at an altitude of about 3,400 feet above sea level in the famous and busy tourist area of Monteverde. The farm currently produces approximately 500 bags of green Arabica coffee. Having just completed renovations, production will grow to about 2,000 bags. Thus, today, the production is much smaller, but expected to quadruple in the next 4 years. Current revenue streams include prepackaged coffee in bulk at retail prices. Cascara is planned for production, and coffee tours were recently launched. The cost of maintaining the farm per year is only $160,000 US. The owners have invested over $500,000 into the plantation over the past year, resulting in greater yields and a more efficient operation. Additional potential revenue streams include drinking water, a small hydropower station, hydroponic and fish farms. The owners are flexible and seek either a full outright acquisition and ownership or a 49% share. This is a great opportunity. I'm going to be back there in March and taking a tour of the coffee plantation itself. So I encourage you, if you know anyone that's interested or you yourself are, contact me. I'd love to meet you there and give you a personal tour. I'm going to go at the first part of March and be there for a couple weeks. So give me a shout and we'll connect, and I'll make sure that we arrange something for you or anyone that you represent to me. We've got some time, so I'd like to actually tell you about a second opportunity in Costa Rica. I'd really like to do a whole show one of these times about international businesses and the opportunities there, and maybe even kind of highlight Costa Rica. I think we currently have about 17 clients there, and we've actually opened up an office, so it's really easy for us to take care of that area. And I don't think 5 years from now you're going to be able to touch some of the values and the profitabilities that exist in Costa Rica today. So the second opportunity I want to talk to you about is a really unique luxury eco-friendly boutique resort. My wife and I have actually stayed there and spent some time. It is amazing. It's probably one of my favorite vacation spots I've ever been to. The property itself features 30 elevated bungalows with floating balconies. There's a restaurant, a bar lounge. There's three mineral pools that are there, an artisan shop. They have a spa. The resort itself is situated at the base of a 150-foot thermal mineral gorge, and it provides guests with a beautiful scenery, unique experiences. The hotel location allows guests to enjoy several on-site activities, including zip lining, which we did, and it was awesome. Whitewater tubing, I also took advantage of that. Mountain biking, hiking. My wife and I went on several hikes there, and the scenery is unbelievable. It is located about 120 miles northwest of San Jose. It's in an area that is most popular with tourists. It has gained a name for itself as a tropical paradise for its varied landscape, active culture, abundant wildlife. This offering presents a great opportunity to acquire a unique hidden gem in Costa Rica's premier adventure playground. You can spend your day swimming in the abundant, completely natural hot springs along a mile of thermal gorge that cuts right through the spectacular 600-plus acre reserve. It is cooled by an ever-present breeze and framed by a unique dwarf forest. The hotel and thermal river are a sanctuary of well-being, and they truly embody Costa Rica's legendary phrase of Pura Vida. The hotel was designed to be in perfect harmony with its surroundings. Great care has been taken to preserve a one-of-a-kind setting and its most precious resources, while simultaneously providing a very comfortable experience for conscious-minded guests. I personally believe that this is a rare investment opportunity. Due to the economies to scale and an already established infrastructure, just with an additional investment in 20 more rooms at a cost about probably around $2 million over the asking price would result in revenues of over $7 million a year with a net of $2.73 million. And there's room for even more expansion. This is amazing. And another key point of this is that having stayed there, I actually got a chance to see how the people there at this facility take care of their guests and what they do. It is an adventure and an experience, not just a vacation, to be there. And the room for growth is amazing. I would suggest that anyone considering investing in a resort, hotel, or even if you haven't considered this, this is an opportunity for a very profitable venture into another country that is very safe, active, progressive, and I think it would be well worth your time to take a look at it. So if you yourself, again, or someone else that you know might be interested in this, give me a call, contact me via email. I'd be happy to connect with you on this. And again, when I'm there at the first part of March, I've got a couple of clients, potential clients, looking at purchasing this. I'm going to be giving them a tour. I'd be happy to show it to you or anyone that you suggest as well. Again, I think it would be fun to do an entire broadcast on international opportunities. Even if you haven't considered it yourself or it doesn't impact you, it's really interesting to look at some of these other countries, and for me especially, Costa Rica. There's just so much to be had there. And because of the low operational cost, the profits are very, very high. All right, we're running out of time today, so I want to take a moment to once again thank our listeners for checking out what we've had to say and participating in today's program. Please join us next week where we'll continue to explore events and processes within our industry and then provide you with valuable interpretation of what that means to you and your business. Keep sending in your questions to be addressed live on the air, and if I don't get to them during that time, I will personally email you with answers to your questions. I have a couple of those today to do. Thanks again for listening to M&A Today and for the support you've shown us so far in 2020. I hope you all have a great rest of your week. We'll talk again next Friday at noon Eastern. Thanks again for tuning in.